Well, the title of this morning's message is, He Has Done All Things Well. He has done all things well. And specifically, what I want to talk to you about is six things you need to know about Jesus that will help you pray more effectively. And let's face it, if we're honest, most of us struggle with our prayer life. It's not always easy to pray effectively. And sometimes we might feel like we're just praying, but nothing's happening. And I just want to be a help to you. And I want to share these six things. So for you note takers, you make sure you have your pens ready. And so I want to be a help to you. I want all of us to be able to grow in our prayer life. Prayer life is so important. And to be able to pray effectively and to see God answer our prayers is such a powerful thing. And I know that many of you have had God answer your prayers, but there are still things that you're waiting on the Lord for. And so hopefully this message will help you if you're discouraged because you've been waiting, you've been praying, and God hasn't answered your prayers yet. Hopefully this message will be just a reminder for those of you who are waiting on the Lord. And for those of you who are new in the faith, then I pray that this is something that will help you develop in a greater, in your prayer life in a greater way. And so today what I want to do is I want to look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 31 through 37, with the lenses of prayer, so to speak. So as we're going to be looking at these seven verses, we're going to be considering these seven verses with that focus of prayer. Hey, would somebody mind just opening up more windows? Amen. You know, too, we have air conditioning, so if the windows don't work, you could turn that air on, and it's on? Well, we got to get it fixed then. Let's begin in verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Now, it's important to remember that by this time, the fame of Christ had spread all from Idumea, Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, Galilee, which is all on the west side of the Jordan River. And then on the east side of the Jordan River, his fame had also spread to Decapolis. And Decapolis, Deca means 10, and Polis is city. So these were 10 cities on the east side of the Jordan. Now, it's interesting how his fame spread there. If you remember when we were studying chapter 5 of the Gospel of Mark, interesting thing happened. Jesus went there with his disciples, and he was greeted by a naked man who was possessed by demons, many demons. You remember that story. I think I titled the message, A Nude Dude. How many of you remember the rest? In a rude mood. A nude dude in a rude mood. Well, he got saved. This man got saved, he got delivered, and he wanted to follow Jesus. But here is a person that Jesus said no to. This guy says, hey, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, I want you to stay here. Sometimes it's harder just to stay, isn't it? Sometimes the easiest thing is to go, but sometimes it's hard to stay. And for some of us, God wants us to stay in the situation we're in. And you know that. In that marriage, he wants you to stay. You don't have grounds. Or whatever the situation may be. Maybe it's in a workplace. And you want to leave, but God wants you to stay. It might be for a few more months, but nevertheless, he wants you to stay. Sometimes it's harder to stay. But anyway, this man, Jesus told him, stay. And he told him, he said, go and tell your friends the great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And so he departed, and this man began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. So everyone was ready, in a sense. People had heard about Jesus. And so when Jesus got there, this man had done such a great job, folks just came out to see him. And many folks thought of him as a miracle worker, and so naturally they brought somebody to Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to help this individual. And so the first point, the first thing, is Jesus makes himself available to help those in need. And that's a wonderful truth, that when we're praying, we have to remember that Jesus wants to help. If your heart's right and you're seeking the Lord, even if you make mistakes and you're not quite sure how to pray right, but if your heart's right and you're really genuinely seeking God's help, God makes himself available to help. How many of you have been helped by God? I mean, the hands definitely are going to go up because you've experienced the help of God. But do you got it all together? And God has helped you, huh? And so maybe there are some of you here, and you don't have it all together, and you might think, well, God can't help me. No, that's not true. God can help you. Jesus can help you, and he wants to help you. And so they bring this guy to him, and who they are, in verse 32, it says, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. They may touch him and heal him. And who they are, we don't know. It could have been the guy's family, maybe his parents. It could have been the guy's wife, his kids. We really don't know who this person was or these people were that brought this man to Jesus. But one thing we do know is they believed that Jesus could help. And they acted on that faith. And because they acted on that faith, they experienced the very thing that they were asking for. And it's pretty amazing, huh? As we're going to see. And so Jesus, in verse 33, he says, he took the man aside from the multitude. And I just love that about Jesus, how sometimes he'll take us aside because he just wants to minister to us and get us away, so to speak, from the crowds. You know, sometimes God puts us in situations where it's like we feel like we have nobody, although there's tons of people there, but we kind of feel isolated, like God's bringing us into just a little place where he could really just minister to us in a very, very personal way. And so he takes this guy, and then the second thing is that Jesus works in ways that doesn't always make sense to us. So the first thing is Jesus makes himself available to those who are in need, but sometimes he doesn't do things in a way that makes sense to us. He took him aside from the multitude, and then he puts his fingers in the man's ears. Don't you think that's a little strange? Yeah, ew. That's right. He puts his fingers in his ears, and then not only does he put his fingers in his ears, he spits, and then he touches the man's tongue. Now, for us, that's pretty nasty, huh? Imagine if you were that guy. What would you be thinking? Well, at that time, people thought that spit had some kind of therapeutic or healing kind of properties. But to me, in our time, we know spit is just nasty. And so, put yourself in that man's shoes. And think about, here, Jesus pulls you aside. You can't hear. You can't speak. And then Jesus, imagine he's just looking at Jesus, and Jesus is looking into his eyes, and I wonder what he saw. I'm sure he felt such a peace in Jesus' presence. And maybe Jesus was signing to him, hey, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. And he puts his fingers in his ears to let him know he's going to heal his hearing. And then he touches his tongue to let him know that he's going to help. You know, and the guy could have pulled back, but he just trusted. Even though that doesn't make any sense. And Jesus did different miracles in different ways, and some of them, they don't make sense. But what it does is it requires a certain level of faith and just trusting that what God is doing, even though it doesn't make sense at the time, that what Jesus is doing, he's doing for our good, and he knows what he's doing. And so here, he puts his fingers in his ears, he spits on the man's tongue, and then the third thing is that Jesus is affected by our troubles. So Jesus makes himself available to those in need, he helps them, Jesus works in ways that doesn't always make sense to us, and Jesus is also affected by our troubles. Look at verse 34 of Mark chapter 7. It says, then looking up to heaven, he sighed And he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And so I get this picture in my mind where Jesus, he's got his fingers in his ears, he had touched the man's tongue, and then he just looks up. And maybe that's a sign to the man that, hey, your help is coming from God. And then he speaks those words, be open. But before that, he sighed. It's like, ugh, I wonder what that sigh meant. Perhaps, you know, just thinking of the fall of man and how sin entered in the world and how the grave consequences that sin has had throughout our history. And here seeing this man, who knows what his history was like, and just Jesus being moved by this man's sufferings. And that blesses my heart to know that Jesus, he feels, in a sense, he feels for us. He's moved with compassion over the things that hinder us, that hold us back. And so he is affected by our troubles. Remember, the writer of Hebrews says that we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. And maybe you're here this morning and you're weak, you're hurting, and you need to be reminded that Jesus is with you. He loves you. If you put your trust in him, he's not going to let you down. I don't know how many years this man was in that condition, but the Lord helped him. And maybe you've been in a condition where you've been struggling, you've been going through it for quite some time, but you have to remember that Jesus is going to help you. And sometimes we make our own mistakes, huh? We get ourselves into some trouble, don't we? And we feel the trouble, or we feel the consequences of our own doings. But even when we blow it ourselves, we turn to the Lord, say, oh God, help us. He'll help. How many times have he helped you when you got yourself into a mess? But the point of that is that regardless, whether you just find yourself in a condition, it was not brought on by your own actions, or if something you've done, you just turn to the Lord, trust in him. Jesus will help you. He's not a genie coming here, but he helps and he delivers. That's a part of his ministry, the ministry of his Holy Spirit and the ministry of his word. He comes to help and deliver us as we continue to trust in him. And then the fourth thing is Jesus does respond to intercessory prayer. Now, I'm not going to talk too much on that because in a few moments I'll talk a little bit more about it, and we're going to give the Lord we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. But I'll read verse 35. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. Ain't that amazing? Jesus set him free. He set him free from the very thing that was hindering him for who knows how many years. And this is a reminder and a testimony to us that, you know, God can do the impossible. Now here's a striking thought. Let's read verse 36. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Here's the fifth thought. You could write this down. Jesus' words are often disobeyed by the very people he helps. Isn't that true? Yes. I'll tell you a story. Several years ago, I was 15 years old. I was 15 years old, yeah, because I didn't have a license then. And I was driving, and I got caught driving. And I'll spare you all the details. But anyway, I became a praying young man. I was sitting in the back of that cop car, and I was praying. Oh, Jesus, please help me. It's funny how religious I became when I was in trouble. And I was with my cousin at the time. Anyway, long story short, what ended up happening, to my amazement, the officer got a call where he had to leave. And he turned to me and he said, today is your lucky day. I can't believe it. Still to this day. It's amazing. But I knew God had heard that prayer. And then, you know, I was like, what do you call it? reformed. I was reformed for the rest of that night. And it took 4 years later for the Spirit of God to really grip my heart where I made a commitment to Him. You know, sometimes that's true of us. We'll cry out to God and we'll ask God for help, and then He'll help us, and then we just kind of go back to our old ways, or sometimes we dismiss His word. And one of the things that God wants to do for us is to help us to grow, to become consistent in obeying Him. Now, these folks certainly were excited, and they just started to spread the word. And sometimes when Jesus was ministering, you know, He had great crowds following Him, and then more people would come, and it just made it harder for Him to minister to people sometimes. And then the last thing is verse 37. The last point is Jesus has done all things well. This is something that came from them. And in verse 37 it says, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.'" And really this was a fulfillment of something that was written in Isaiah chapter 35. You could look at it later, verses 3 through 6, describing the ministry of the Messiah and how Jesus fulfilled these Old Testament prophecies. But Jesus has done all things well. And it's good to remember that while we're praying, because it's good to be reminded of the things that He's done in our past. You know, sometimes we're going through a very difficult time. We're facing something that's challenging to us, and we're praying and we're not seeing God answer our prayers or help us in any way. But that doesn't mean that He's not working. And it's great to be reminded of the times He has worked in the past and how He has done all things well. How many of you, and I don't want you to raise your hand, well, let me put it this way. I, in all these years of walking with Jesus, it's been about 24 years now, almost 25 years, I can't think of a time that Jesus failed me. Even in some of the most difficult times of my life, I cannot remember, there is no such thing. I have no history of Jesus ever failing me. Now, there was times where things didn't look good. But you know what? He has done all things well. And Jesus, He does all things well. And so that helps when we're going through it to remember what He has done as we're looking toward the future, remembering that He is going to do what's best for us no matter what. And so what I wanted to do is I just felt impressed by the Spirit of God to give some time to intercessory prayer. You know, this is the service where we have communion and we pray together. It was great earlier before most of you came. There was a group that were praying. And I'd like to just spend some time praying. You know, this is God's house. Look, I'm not a professional. All I know is Jesus saved me and I love Him and I want to live for His glory and honor. I love His word, and I just get so blessed with the opportunity to be able to share it. And I also get blessed with the opportunity that He has given me as a steward to manage what belongs to Him. And I have a lot of help, and I'm blessed by that. And so this service now, I just want to give, again, some time for us to just respond. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. You're struggling because somebody else is hurting. And intercessory prayer, it's bringing requests in favor of another. And that's what these folks did. They brought this guy to Jesus. Oswald Chambers says, "True intercession involves bringing the person or the circumstances that seem to be crushing in on you to God." And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and they're going to start to play. We still have communion, but we still have time. And so as the worship team comes up, what I want to do is I'll pray, and then I want you to respond to the Lord. This is God's house. He said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." And you don't have to feel uncomfortable or anything, but I'm going to just invite you to come to the altar and come and pray and just allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. For those of you who are not going to come, you pray though. You pray for those that are going to come forward. Pray that God's Spirit would minister to them in a powerful way. And as they're seeking God's help, let's just, even though we don't know the details, let's just agree with them. And so the music's going to begin to pray. I'll pray now. And then as the Spirit of God leads, you just come forward. And don't be afraid. And then at the end, for the group that comes forward, I want to pray for you. And so, Father, we come before you and we thank you for your Spirit and for the work of your Holy Spirit among us. And Lord, we believe that you're here. We believe and trust in your word. And that even as these folks brought this man to you, Jesus, and they begged you to help, and you helped them, Lord, we want to come before you and we want to bring our petitions to you. And so, God, as we come, we pray that you would meet us here at the altar. Bring your peace. Bring your favor. And answer these requests according to your perfect will and plan. In Jesus' name, you can just start coming up. And you just come and do business with the Lord. And you cry out to the Lord. And you ask him to help you. You know, I love expressions of worship and genuineness. God, I love to see it. I can't even imagine how much more God loves to see it. It blesses him when his people pray and are sincere and just even begging, God, help me. God, help. God, you know how they're estrayed and you know where they're going and what they're getting involved with. Help, Lord. If you don't help, there's no hope for them. There's no hope for him. Whatever the case is, you cry out to God. Bring those prayers to the Lord.
You're all together lovely, all to me.
Those of you who are seated, would you just pray and raise your hand and just pray, or your hand towards this group here, and just pray. Just begin to pray for them. Let's begin to pray together. Father, we thank you for those that are going through what they're going through because you love them and you've drawn them to yourself, Lord Jesus. And even though they're going through whatever it is, it's resulted in them responding to you, responding to your love, Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'd hear their prayers, that you'd help them, you'd encourage them, you'd strengthen them. And Lord, all together we agree that you would just answer those prayers according to your perfect will, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. And Lord, you hear the cries of your people. And we thank you that you are here in our midst and that you heal. You're our healer. You're our strength. You're our deliverer. You're our peace. You're our hope, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Holy Spirit, I feel your presence so strong. Help, Lord God. Heal, strengthen, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you hear our cries. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just begin to pray and just to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much for your faithfulness, your kindness, your mercy. Lord, I thank you for every soul here. Pray you bless them. Lord, we believe in you. We trust you. And we thank you for your great love and your kindness and how you're available to help and how you do help us, how you've helped us in times past. We think back of all the wonderful blessings that you've showered upon us and how when we were hurting, we cried out to you. You heard our cries and you've directed us. You've taken us out of a pit and you brought us to a wealthy place. We thank you for how involved you are in our lives, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, each one of you are very special to the Lord. And you've acted on faith. You've come and you've laid yourself, you prostrate yourself before the Lord. You got on your knees bowing down before the Lord and crying out to God. He loves you. Amen. He loves you so much and he hears those cries. And you just keep believing and trusting that he is going to help you. And you watch and you see how he works. But the thing is you want to continue to walk in obedience to his revealed will. Trust him, obey him, and just keep doing what's right. God honors that. Keep doing what's right. And I'll be praying for you. I see all your beautiful faces. I thank God for each one of you. I'll be praying for you throughout this week, and we'll be praying for you as well. And so now I just want to invite you to go ahead and be seated as I call the ushers forward, and they're going to begin to pass out the elements. First Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, Paul, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And so there's two things that we do when we partake of communion. Actually, there's three. But the first thing is we look back. We look back to what Jesus did. How Jesus, he died on the cross and he shed his blood for the sins of the world. And Jesus said that God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus came on a great rescue mission. He came to deliver us, to seek and save those who are lost. And only those who respond by faith experience the gift of eternal life. And so perhaps you're here this morning and you haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ. The important thing for you to do now is to look to the cross. Here, the cross is here. It reminds us of what Jesus did, how he shed his blood on the cross for your sins. He died for you. He loves you. And it's God's heart's desire is that you would turn to his son Jesus in faith. Repent. Change your thinking about Jesus. Turn to him. Ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you, to wash you with his blood. And that cup represents the blood that was shed on the cross. And before you partake of the elements, if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, if he's not the Lord of your life, if you haven't made a commitment to Christ, then now is the time to do so before you partake, looking back to what Jesus did. But we look forward. Paul says that every time we partake of these elements, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That is, he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. And we look forward to that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And he encourages us with that divine perspective, knowing that one day we're going to see him face to face. And in light of the fact that he's coming, that has an impact on our lives and how we should live each and every day. And we remember that he's coming back for us. And that causes our hearts to rejoice. Well, the third thing is we need to examine ourselves. In the light of his coming, in the light of what he has done, it's important for us to examine ourselves. And in verse 27, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner or in an irreverent way will be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord." And so he says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And so, God, we come before you, and each one of us, we're here in your presence. And Lord, we believe and we know that there's nothing hidden in your sight. And so, God, we just come honestly, and we examine our own hearts and our thoughts. And Lord, we're just simple. We're simple people. I'm a simple person, I should say. I'm simple. Sometimes my thoughts wander. The feelings in my heart, they're just not in sync with your word and with your heart. And so, God, I just honestly come before you, and I pray you help me. Help me to grow. Help me to think right. Help me to think right about you and your kingdom. Help me to put a greater emphasis on your kingdom. Jesus, you said to seek first your kingdom. And so, Lord, help me to seek your kingdom first above all things. And continue, Lord, to change and mold us and shape us. Those things that aren't fitting, Lord, we want to just take those things and cast them aside. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your presence and be reminded of what you did for us. As you hung there on the cross, you shed your blood for the forgiveness of sins. And we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Let us partake. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you amaze me. Your presence amazes me. I'm so grateful that you are so involved in our lives. I'm so thankful for how you work in our midst. How you're restoring lives, how you're strengthening us, how you're saving. And it's such a great joy to be a part of what you're doing. It's such a great joy to see you working, God. We thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we thank you that you have done all things good. You're so wonderful. And we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't Jesus good? Amen. Now remember that you're very special to the Lord. He loves you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's your only hope. He is your only hope. Stay in the Word. Read His Word. Obey Him. Let's all together have that as our renewed commitment today. Jesus, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you no matter what. Jesus, I'm going to stay in your Word and allow your Spirit to minister to me. And Jesus, I want to obey you in greater ways than I have before. Help me. Help me, Lord. And we make that our commitment. We'll see what He does throughout this week, how He'll use us. We'll see in a year from now how much we've grown. Forget that, a month from now. Just trust Jesus with all your heart. Amen. Amen.